Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
A fresh Stormont Assembly election will not take place in December, in news that has come as a relief to voters and politicians alike. Britain's Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Chris Heaton-Harris, said he will outline his next steps in Westminster. For more on this, I'm joined now by Amanda Ferguson, freelance journalist and commentator, Deirdre Heenan, Professor of Social Policy at Ulster University. Amanda, obviously you're still trying to fill in the blanks here on what exactly it is that happened. Tell us what you know, though, because it's not even 48 hours since Heaton-Harris's number two, Steve Baker, was telling us, oh, no, we're going to set a date now, we're going to give you an election.
I think what we'll have seen is that number 10 has overruled the Northern Ireland office. So Chris Heaton-Harris made a big fuss about last Friday, sort of self-imposed 1 minute past midnight deadline, and it was all quite dramatic. And then it's been the sort of midst of a U-turn since then. So the Secretary of State, credibility has taken a bit of a knock, but we are where we are, as they say, and the statement that he issued this morning confirming that there'll be no Assembly election in December.
That's interesting. Can I ask you to speculate a little bit further into that, though? Who would Rishi Sunak be using to take soundings in Northern Ireland and do this end run around Heaton-Harris?
Well, we know that he's particularly close to the former Secretary of State, Julian Smith. We know that he takes soundings in the Lords and from various former Secretaries of State are having input. I think that everyone is talking in recent weeks that an Assembly election would be a bad thing, that it's not necessary, that it would distort democracy from May, that nobody wants it, that it will be too expensive, that it's in the middle of cost of living crisis and so on. I think that the interesting word in the statement that Chris Heaton-Harris issued today is current legislation. He said current legislation requires me to name a date for an election to take place within 12 weeks, October 28th, and next week I will make a statement in Parliament to lay out my next steps. Now, we're not expecting to hear from Chris Heaton-Harris today in the media. He's not going to make himself available for journalist questions. So we're looking forward to next week to see what is actually announced, because at the moment, a January election isn't off the table quite yet. But the likely thing to happen will be that some sort of legislation is introduced to make all this go away, to retrospectively change the legislation. And then in the meantime, Chris Heaton-Harris needs to work out what to do about the budget, what to do about the fact there's no Assembly, no executives, that civil servants are in charge, what to do about the energy payments and so on. So that's the lay of the land now. And there's been no shortage of reaction to what's happened today, with a lot of politicians wanting to kick Chris Heaton-Harris, but also a lot of politicians saying, well, thank goodness that he's actually made the right call finally.
Well, isn't it an interesting state of affairs that it is 10 Downing Street that is closer to feeling on the ground on what politicians in Northern Ireland want than the Secretary of State in Belfast?
Well, you also have to take into consideration that it's not a particularly good look for the UK government to say that what's required in Northern Ireland to sort out this turbulence is an Assembly election, but what's not required in London to sort out the turbulence there is a general election. So I think that it would have been difficult for them to square that. And also as well, I think because the May election delivered such an historic result in that it was the first time that a nationalist was going to be in the First Minister role, it did look as if to some people, certainly some commentators, that perhaps a rerun election was to try and get the right result for unionism, and that's not a perception you want in place. We have heard from Simon Coveney this morning, Chris Heaton-Harris's counterpart, obviously the Irish government co-guarantors of the Good Friday Agreement, and have a role here. So Simon Coveney said that he fully shares the Secretary of State's objective, restoration of functioning institutions in Northern Ireland. He said, we had a good discussion this week, including on legal obligations under NDNA. No election pre-Christmas is welcome, and create space for progress on other matters, which is obviously a reference to the protocol. And he said that he remains in contact with the NIO. So,
Amanda, thank you very much. Let me bring in Deirdre Heenan here. Deirdre, is Chris Heaton-Harris a lame duck now?
Well, I think what we have is yet more evidence that the British government have absolutely no idea what they're doing in relation to Northern Ireland. They're simply making it up as they go along. What we have just witnessed is incompetence, amateurish, To be frank, one of our students...
So hang on a second, you wouldn't agree with Amanda's analysis then that number 10 Downing Street, that Rishi Sunak got it right where Heaton Harris was getting it wrong?
Oh no, I think the Prime Minister got it right. I think the Prime Minister listened to, and I've no doubt he was listening to, the former Secretary of State, Julian Smith, who said an election would be pointless. But you have to ask yourself why we went through this pantomime of Heaton Harris repeatedly saying, 1 minute after 12 o'clock, I'm calling an election, I'm calling an election. I mean, why did we have to go through this sort of nonsense? Reality is, he said he would take the temperature. It was very clear businesses didn't want an election. The politicians didn't want an election. It was pointless. It was expensive. It seemed to be the wrong thing to do. So why we have to go to this wire? And then suddenly, you know, it was fairly clear to me from last Friday that when he stood out in the street and didn't name the date, he was U-turning. He was just thinking about how he would present this U-turn. And I think really what we have to understand is Northern Ireland is once again collateral damage for the chaos in Westminster. We have a revolving door of Secretary of States, and it seems to me that they have no institutional memory. They don't speak to each other. They don't seem to have a sense of what's going on. They don't seem to understand the political parties. So did Heaton Harris really think that the DUP would blink because he threatened an election? If that's really the case, then again, I think it's further demonstration of how little he understands the politics of Northern Ireland.
Okay, which is the more damaging perception at the end of the day? That the British government might have run an election so that the DUP could potentially have won it and take on the First Minister role, and maybe then their concerns about the Northern Ireland Protocol would be softened, let's say? Or is the situation we find ourselves in now more damaging, where, yes, the legislation might say that an election is required, but you know what, we don't really pay that much attention to legislation and we can always just change it, can't we?
Well, you know, exactly. Where are we? The worst of two evils. I mean, I think really the question might be, when is a deadline not a deadline? Well, when it's in Northern Ireland.
Well, a deadline has never
been
a deadline in Northern Ireland in the last 25 exactly. years, in fairness.
But I think, in fairness, few people relish the idea of an election. But there was a law requiring one, and that law was passed and agreed by the political parties to avoid prolonging the blocking of the democratic will of the people. So in the one sense, you'd have to say, well, really what we're saying then is the law is meaningless. And what is the point of continually pointing to this law, agreeing this law and the principles that underpin the law, if it, at the last moment, you can simply say, well, actually, we're going to completely ignore it. But on the other hand, why run an election when clearly it is absolutely pointless? I think it really, the whole mess, is how I describe it, is really demonstrating the mess that the Tories have got us into in terms of Northern Ireland and their hard Brexit. I think they have absolutely no idea what they are going to do. There doesn't seem to be a plan. There was certainly no sense on Friday that they had a plan. I note that the Secretary of State has said he's going to set out his next steps next week. I think it's simply intolerable for the beleaguered public of Northern Ireland to be faced with yet another period of limbo where we are drifting. There is no one in charge, no caretaker ministers, no ministers, no one able to make strategic decisions.
I know, but at least they don't have to look forward to people knocking on the door in December letting the heat out. A campaign wouldn't have been welcome right now, would it?
Oh, absolutely not. But, I mean, a campaign would have been in many ways simply the British government kicking the can down the road. I think we've had this for 6 months. The question might be, what has happened in that 6 month period? How have we ended up at the wire where there doesn't seem to be any real negotiations, any intense talks, any sense that we are making some sort of forward movement, that there is progress? And I think that's what people are frustrated by. Yes, of course, we didn't want an election, but an election isn't off the table. There is no sense that there's going to be a resolution. I think many people on the streets here would want the government to say, OK, if we have to call an election, this is when we're going to call it. And after that election, we will run the hunt. And if there is no executive formed, we will bring the shutters down, we will stop the salaries, and we will institute some decision-making processes. Because the drift is, I think, what people are frustrated about. And, of course, the fact that people who are subverting the democratic will are still on their full salaries.
OK. Deirdre Heenan, thank you very much.